Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And we're going to read from verse 1 till the end. That's a very short psalm. The word of the Lord for people of God. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. The words of the Lord for God's people. May the Lord bless it to our hearts, that we may be inspired through his word that we hear this evening. How pleasant and good it is when brothers and sisters live in unity. Unity is a very popular concept. We all hear about international unity, national unity, ethnic unity, family unity. Every form of human organization seeks unity. So there is something in our nature that desires unity. Unity is part of the nature of God that it is in us. So unity is a good thing. We read in scriptures that God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unity. So unity is a good thing. But there is unity that pleases God. There is also unity that does not please God. Some of us are familiar with the story of Babel, when God told the children of Noah to increase and multiply and fill the earth. And a strong man amongst them rose up and gathered the people and said, no, let's build a tower so that we don't get scattered and fill the earth. And they united to build a tower so that they can walk against the will of God. So that unity didn't please God. We do remember what happened in the story. That's why we have the languages that we have today. And the nations, perhaps, that we have. You already know that I am from Nigeria. And I came to the United States about 11 years ago. Actually, when I came, the first city I arrived was the city of Newark. Does anyone here know Newark City? Okay. Most of the people I saw looked like me, so I said I'm just going to blend right in. But when I said hello to the first person and he said, huh? So I kind of noted that my accent is different. That it's not going to be easy to blend right in. So I lived in Newark and, you know, the cities around there. And it was while in New Jersey that I found my wife, who is with me here this evening. Kate, are you somewhere? Okay. My wife is from Michigan here. But we met in New Jersey and married. The Lord blessed us with three children, John, Chip, and Isaac. So we are all delighted to be here this evening. So I am from Nigeria, one of those nations that came out of those kind of unity that didn't please God. When God decided to scatter the people, you know, all over, you know, the world. So there is a unity that pleases God. There is a unity that displeases God. Our text tells us that this unity that pleases God is like the oil poured upon the head of Aaron that comes down the collar of his shirt or his robe, down all over his robe. The first time I read about this, I asked myself, what has unity got to do with oil upon this man's head? And what about this oil having to run down his beard and the collar of his shirt? What has this unity that pleases God got to do with this? If we read scriptures in the book of Leviticus, Exodus, we'll see something special about the oil upon the head of Aaron. The oil upon the head of Aaron is a special oil put together by God Almighty himself. And no one else except Aaron, the high priest, was permitted to use that oil. So that head, that oil was only upon the head of Aaron. So it's something special. We read in scriptures and we see that Aaron, the high priest, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That just as Aaron is the high priest of the old covenant, that Jesus Christ is the high priest of the new covenant. So what is God telling his people in this psalm? That this unity that pleases him is a unity that flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That this unity is unity that comes through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which we receive because we are connected with Jesus Christ. The scripture goes further to talk a little bit more about this anointing of the Holy Spirit, about this oil that sets Aaron apart, that makes him special. That anointing, that choice of God that makes Aaron the high priest special. The scripture says that the oil comes down his beard. And God chose these illustrations very carefully for his people so that we can understand the nature of the unity that pleases him. We can also read in scripture and see that all Israelites were required to trim the edges of their beard. They were required, all of them. They are not allowed to let their beard overgrow. Only Aaron was allowed to do that. Actually, Aaron was forbidden from trimming his beard. So what is God telling his people? That this unity that pleases him gives us identity. When you saw Aaron the high priest in those days, you will not be in doubt that that's the high priest. That's the guy. That's the high priest. Only him will have this kind of beard that produces this fragrance of special anointing from God. Unity that pleases God gives us identity. Jesus prayed that all his children may be one as he and his Father and the Holy Spirit are one. So the unity that pleases God flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That unity gives us identity. Jesus said that by the love that you have for each other, that the world will know that you are his. That the love Christians have for their fellow Christians, that the world will know that we are his. The scripture we read said that this anointing that God has put on Aaron, this oil, you know, flows down his collar. It kind of drenches him. If I put a drop of perfume on my head, that's not going to fill this whole room. But if I drench myself with perfume, what's going to happen? It's going to spread everywhere. Everybody in this room will smell the fragrance and know that I have the oil. So God is telling his people that the love that we have, that unity that pleases him, is going to impact God's people from within, that that unity that pleases him is going to flow from inside us out. There are other scriptures that talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit being given to each and every believer in Jesus Christ, and that each of us has been empowered by God to serve one another. So this unity that pleases God impacts one another within the family of God. It produces something good, pleasing to God. The scripture goes further to tell us what this unity looks like. It said, it's like the dew of Hermon falling in Zion. It's like the dew of Hermon falling in Zion. The dew in all of scripture has always been associated with the blessings of God. God spoke to the prophet Hosea, and he promised to the nation of Israel, to God's people, that I will be a dew to my people, and they will blossom like the lilies. The Bible also tells us that whenever God was not happy with the Israelites, like during the time of Ahab, what did he do? He withdrew the rain and the dew, and there was famine all over Israel for a whole 3 years. So the dew, the presence of the dew, is the presence of God's blessings. The absence of it means that God is displeased. So the dew is gentle and refreshing. When you come out on a summer day and it's really hot, and you wake up the next morning and come outside and there is dew, there is a smell of freshness. You breathe in. You know, you feel good about, you know, creation, about life, about the environment. There is a kind of gentleness and refreshing that the dew brings in the environment. Proverbs 19:12 say that a king's goodwill is likened to the refreshing effect of dew on vegetation. When the dew falls on vegetation, like on the plants and the trees and the shrubs, they feel good about it. For places like here, and maybe the ethnic group where I come from, Igbo in Nigeria, where there is a lot of rain, the significance of the dew will not be very evident. But in the nation of Israel, where this psalm is written, the dew is very, very important, because that region is dry most of the year. So except some source of moisture or water comes through the river or the dews, it will be practically difficult to have a good harvest. So God says that the unity that pleases him is like the dew of Hermon. What is this dew of Hermon? Hermon is the highest peak in that whole region of Palestine. It's about 9,000 feet above sea level. It is snow-capped all year round. Whether there is drought or the temperature is 130 degrees, Mount Hermon is snow-capped all year round and is the highest peak. Now, what happens is that when the weather is so dry and hot, the snow evaporates. Then when it evaporates, it condenses into dew and falls on the shrubs and the trees around the Mount of Hermon. So the vineyards, the gardens and the farms around Mount Hermon get refreshment from the dew that comes from Hermon. So what is God telling his church and his people? That this unity that pleases him impacts the community of God's people. That this unity impacts the neighborhood. That the people around will know that there is a special presence of God. That there is some kind of something special about the Spirit of God walking amongst God's people. There are several ways churches can impact their neighborhood through the spread of the gospel. There is a mission field next door. Actually, with the number of persons I see here this evening, I'm inclined to think that everyone in Kalamazoo has been saved. I think that God has blessed this church in a very special way, because this is the highest number I have ever seen in an evening service in the last 8 years I've been preaching here in the United States. So there is something special about this place. So God is saying that the unity that pleases him impacts the neighborhood, impacts the immediate community, like the dew of Hermon impacting the neighboring vineyards, the shrubs, the trees around the mountain. God also says that this dew of Hermon also falls in Zion. Zion, Mount Zion, is several miles away from Mount Hermon. And how is it that the dew of Hermon falls in Zion? And this is something that happens in practical life that God is using to illustrate the spiritual truth amongst his people. Now, the vapor that is created by the snow on top of Hermon is carried by a cold air current that moves in the direction of the north, several miles into Zion. Now, this vapor goes into Zion and condenses and forms dew in the region of Mount Zion and brings refreshment to the shrubs, the trees, and the vineyards in that region. So the unity that pleases God flows out of our relationship with Christ. That unity gives us identity. Now that unity impacts our neighborhood, the community that God has placed us. That unity impacts distant places. Jesus Christ said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, because the Holy Spirit has come upon the Second Christian Reformed Church, that this church has been given the power of God to be the witness of Jesus Christ here in the church, here in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, your neighboring community, and in the utmost part of the earth, in Africa, Russia, Germany, Papua New Guinea, and all the countries that the young people had just listed. Jesus has empowered this church to impact its community. I remember when I came newly to the States, or even before I came, my thought was that every person in the United States has become a Christian. The United States, I believed, like many other people in my part of Nigeria, that the United States is a Christian nation, that everyone in the United States is a Christian. But when I arrived the first Sunday, I noticed that cars were parked on the left and on the right, and while I was going to church by 9 in the morning, none of the cars made any move. By the time I came back around 12, those cars were still parked in their position. I eventually discovered that my neighbor next door has not heard about Jesus Christ. I decided to begin to speak to my neighbors about Jesus Christ. There is a particular case that caught my attention, that broke my heart. A young man that I was telling about Jesus Christ, and he pointed two buildings to me. One building was a mosque, and another building was a church. And this is what he told me. He said, if I go to this building, I will be hugged and embraced and welcomed. I will be treated with love and I respect. But if I go to this other building, that they won't even sit on the same chair with me. And he asked me, if you are looking for God, will you look for him in that place where you are welcomed and treated with respect? Or will you look for him in that place where you are treated as an outcast. That broke my heart. And he told me, this young man told me that he is a Christian, that he believes in Jesus Christ, that he believes that Jesus Christ will take him to heaven. But he told me that meanwhile, he would like to see God where he sees God in action. My heart was broken. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the enablement of God. We have the blessings of God. We have the grace. We have the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. So I was challenged by that experience. It is my prayer that all God's people will know that Jesus has empowered us to love, that Jesus has empowered us to share, that Jesus has empowered us to impact each other, to impact our neighborhood, and to impact distant places. Today, I want you to be encouraged because I have read many good things about this church. Historically, I can even remember how this church and other churches in the Christian Reformed Church have supported missionaries all around the world. I remember a case of 1920, or even earlier than that, 1918, 1919, when there were options of mission around the world. There is one woman, Johanna Winstra. Does anyone here know Johanna Winstra or her story? Good, some people know her. Johanna Winstra was the first missionary to the Sudan region of Africa. Now, the city that she landed at was a community of cannibals. You can see how risky it was. These were cannibals, but yet the Lord was with her. The Lord used her. Today, the Christian Reformed Church in Nigeria is over 500,000 members because of the foundation that the Lord laid through that woman who took that courageous step. And all that happened because of your support, your prayers, and your courage. There is still a mission that needs to happen in Africa. So many of us think about Africa and we remember conflicts and wars and even nations in Africa that we can call Christian are all at each other's neck in Africa. And it will seem hopeless as it is, but there is hope. There is a new mission statement that needs to go to Africa. And that statement is that Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God and also reconciled us with each other. That is a mission statement that missionaries need to carry into Africa. That peace is possible, that forgiveness is possible, that reconciliation is possible. Some of us have begun carrying that message through a ministry that we have studied called Pax Africana. I encourage you after service to stop at the fellowship hall and hear a little more about what that organization is doing to promote peace in Africa through the gospel. And if the Lord wills, it is my prayer that you provide your support for that organization. Today, God is telling his church to be the dew of Hammon, to continue to be the dew of Hammon. I looked at your mission statement, and that was a very simple mission statement, but I felt greatly encouraged by it. Our mission is to glorify God in worship, fellowship, and witness. A very simple but all-embracing mission. It is my prayer that all of us here today will keep our eyes on that mission. Because when God's people move away from the mission of God and begin to quarrel over style of music, begin to quarrel whether it's going to be guitar or it's going to be organ, or begin to quarrel whether we're going to dress in robes or not, a lot of energy will be dissipated in the wrong direction. But when God's people unite around the mission of Christ, that the cross of Jesus Christ be lifted up in this community and beyond, the Bible tells us that it is in it that the blessing of God comes. That it is in it that even life eternal comes. It is when God's people unite to proclaim the gospel to the broken world that salvation happens. Because there is no other name given amongst men whereby salvation is possible except the name of Jesus Christ. And we have been given the authority to proclaim that name to the nations. It is my prayer that everyone here will commit to focus on that mission of God and not to let ourselves be distracted by tradition and culture and things that are not of necessity to our salvation. It is my prayer that neighbors will see our love for each other and say how pleasant and good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, refreshing our community. It is my prayer that distant communities and missions abroad will experience your love and say how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon falling in Mount Zion. That is my prayer for this church. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you. We thank you because you have called us to be a blessing. You have blessed us and have called us to be like the dew of Hermon that brings refreshment to its immediate neighborhood and even to distant places. We thank you. We thank you for every individual here, for the blessing that this church has been to the whole Church of Christ, for the various missionaries around the world that this church is supporting. Lord, we thank you. We pray that your hand will continue to work mightily in this place, that you will continue to grow this church, that you will continue to keep them in love and unity, that you will continue to keep their eyes on the mission to which you have called them, that the cross of Jesus Christ may be lifted up in this place and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.